Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is entitled, It is Time to Get Serious with God. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And this, of course, is a reference to Habakkuk 2:6. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The word here, excuse, means apology or an apologetic. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie, not a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, or physis in the Greek. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lusts one for another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over unto a reprobate or rejected mentality to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, or without family love. Implacable, always at a state of war with themselves and others. Unmerciful, no compassion. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. In chapter 1, verse 17, once again, Paul writes, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The Greek word for righteousness is dikaiosune, and the righteousness of God that the believing ones have received has been imputed to them, that is, reckoned to their account through the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. And so this is the righteousness that Paul speaks of here. Righteousness means or denotes that one has been made right with God. Justification means something very similar, to be justified. And so Paul wants to bring out in his message in the book of Romans what God has done, the significance of what God has done for all mankind. And I want to emphasize that this morning, what God has done for all of mankind through Christ Jesus. So dikaiosune, that is, the righteousness of God, controls the thought of the entire letter. So in verse 17, Paul speaks about the righteousness of God and what it has done or brought into the lives of the believing ones. And then at the end of verse 17, Paul states, the just or the justified ones shall live by faith. And the preposition by is the Greek preposition ek, which is a genitive of source or origin. The justified ones shall live out of faith as a source or origin. The word of faith is the Greek word pistis, and it is a noun of action. So the subject performs the action of the verb. We must. It is necessary in the nature of faith that we live by faith. Faith is not merely an intellectual grasping of some things about God and willing from one's own intellect that one will endeavor or try through one's own effort to live a righteous life. No. It is when one's own will is swallowed up in the will of God, that one is given the power to live out the righteousness of Christ in one's life. See, our salvation is the gift of God. It is a gift. It is God's gift to us through the work of his Son. This is an incredible reality. And so Paul wants the believing ones at Rome to what God has given them, the treasure of the gospel, of the good news. And the gospel is the good news. Paul never sets the gospel up as one system of belief that is comparable to all others. Paul never compares the gospel to any philosophical system that originated in his day. Paul never compares the gospel to any religious system of his day. Paul understood the gospel as unique and as uniquely compelling. It is God's message. And so when he talks about, when he begins in verse 18 to talk about the wrath of God, Paul is showing, and he will demonstrate, the actions of men toward God, the actions of men toward one another. And one may deny the reality of the list and the behaviors that Paul will elucidate. But denial does not abrogate or set aside the compelling evidence that these things are so. So, over against verse 17, in which the emphasis is on the righteousness of God and the fact that the just shall live by faith, in verse 18, Paul talks about the wrath of God. For the wrath of God is revealed up from heaven, apo, against all ungodliness and, notice, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So here this verb, who hold, means to seize or to hold or to have. It should be translated to restrain. It means to restrain. And so, what is restrain? Well, men, and notice, because of their ungodliness and unrighteousness, seek to restrain the truth about God. Verse 18, the word wrath is orge, and orge means anger as a state of mind. Thumos is the other Greek word for anger, and it means principally the beating of the air, and it is the execution of anger as a state of mind. But thumos is not used here. It is only orge, or anger as a state of mind. And so Paul elaborates what God's attitude is toward men who practice ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now, one day we will see God's wrath executed as he did in the book of Genesis. We will see that, his cataclysmic judgment. But because of what the Son of God has done, because of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, I want you to see that Paul is going to talk about the rejection of God, the rejection of what God has done. And I want to present Paul's portrait of the result of the rejection of the righteousness of God. And so we will look at the results of willful, deliberate ignorance of God. We will look at spiritual and moral darkness We will look at the corrupt mentality. We will look at the restlessness and the activity of ruin. Now, verse 19, Paul states, because that which may be known of God is manifest, and notice he uses is instead of being verb, is manifest or apparent in them. For God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him out from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So discursive reason is able to see the order in creation. That is teleology, the purpose, the design, the mathematical elegance of creation. One is able to see, the very wonderful detail, even down to a grain of sand. One is able to see in the semi-permeable membrane of the cell surface that this is the result of design and not an evolutionary tale. One is able to observe in the way that the world is arranged that there is indeed intelligent design that is not accidental. Our number did not come up in the Monte Carlo game, as Jacques Monod has stated. And so there is this type of autonomous intellectualism that wants to believe that the world just came into existence and that there was indeed merely a prebiotic soup in which somehow amino acids randomly came together to form macromolecules, and then we have the upward of form or the movement toward life. But then evolution has always failed to explain why or how the metabolic motors came together in order to begin the upward movement of life. And so there are so many variables to solve that have not been solved, but that have been told to the general public and sold to the general public as knowledge, and that these things have been solved and worked out, and they have not. They have not. And so in an effort to control the thinking of the general population, these things have been done. And so in order to keep or to control or to keep people away from the knowledge of God. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him out from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. That is, they're without an apology. There is no intelligent argument that can be brought forth and sustained that can be brought forth in order to say that there is no evidence in creation for God. Now, notice verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their reasonings, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so, and notice the modifier foolish before the noun heart. So they became without insight or unintelligent. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, or rather insipid, or in reality, silly. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Creeping things in the Greek is herpeton. And so the people worship snakes. So you see that this is not an evolution that is a movement upward. It is really a devolution, a movement downward, a downward movement. Because there, notice the attempt at an autonomous humanity. When human beings attempt to separate themselves from God, the result is always idolatry, and it begins in the thinking, the idolatry of the mind. And in Hebrew, the word idolatry means nothingness, but it is the empty thinking, or it is the thoughts that originate in the heart of the individual that say that I want to be independent of God. So here's the result. Forgetting that if a finite point lacks an infinite reference point, it is meaningless and absurd. And so Paul will skillfully talk about this and what happened to humanity as a result of desiring to be autonomous of God or independent of God. So he is giving us here a forensic anthropology. He is allowing us to see what happened and the activity of behavior that people engage in because there is no real relationship with God. Verse 24, wherefore, because people wanted to be engaged in polytheistic and also animal worship and that was associated with that type of worship of the bestiality, deviant the sexual practices that accompany his behavior. Paul says in verse 24, wherefore, because man had given up God, and notice what happens. On the on God's side, you read, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. And the word here, uncleanness, literally in the Greek is filth. And verse 24 states that God also, wherefore God also gave them up to, and literally it reads to viciousness. God gave them over to vicious sexual sin. And notice what happens. So, wherefore God also gave them up to viciousness or to vicious sexual sins, to filth or uncleanness through or in the lusts of their own hearts. And notice the change of condition. To dishonor or to treat shamefully their own bodies between themselves. To treat shamefully their own bodies between themselves. You will note that the more people move toward this condition, the more what the more normality or what is normal or what is deemed normal is defined downward in order to maintain a sense of balance or well-being. And so there has been this norm, let me say, of defining normality downward. To keep or to maintain the homeostasis of society. And so normality is continually being defined downward. And as culture disintegrates over the activity, over the behavior, and because of the behavior, because of the actions of people who are given over to certain lust patterns, society has to continually redefine itself in a manner to so that this behavior, these actions can be accommodated. It is really a very heinous situation. But note, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He goes on, who changed the truth of God, not an indefinite article, not the indefinite article A, but the lie, the definite article, the lie, and worshipped, notice, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. And then again, we have verse 24, we read that God gave them up. Again, in verse 26, one reads, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, in the Greek, vile affections is this word, P-A-T-H-O-S, paphos, from which we get our word pathology. The root of pathos means to wound and to suffer. This word, pathos, means the diseased condition of the soul from which the epithumia or the lust patterns spring. The diseased condition of the soul from which the lust patterns spring. And so once again, pathos, the root means to wound and to suffer. These are very, very serious words. These are very serious results. And Paul is going to present the dikaiosune, the righteousness of God, as an answering apologetic. He's going to present the power of the gospel to change lives, to significantly alter individual destiny. This is the power of the living Christ to give new life. Paul is going over the behavior of the dead, and Paul wants the world to know that there is a different answer than these actions. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Vatican. Have a wonderful day.